Hi friends, here we go. It is time to party. Okay. A lot to do. It's May, and I've heard from some pastors wiser than I am that May is busier than Christmas and Easter put together. But here we are in the Lord's house. I don't know if you know, but I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We celebrate Pentecost, right?
We got Ascension this week.
See, we're full. Ascension service this week. Thursday.
7 o'clock.
7 p.m. That's right. It's wonderful. Oh, it's beautiful. It's us living our life as the church on the way in the path that Jesus walked. Right? These are the things that happened to him. And we commemorate and we celebrate them so that they're in our minds, in our steps, in our mouths, in our hands. Right? If he does holy things, won't we do things greater than that? That was last week. Right? So wonderful. So we do these things because we live the life of the church. And in the life of the church, we celebrate Mother's Day too. So happy Mother's Day to all the happy Mother's Day to everybody. If we celebrate, you know, if we say Merry Christmas to everybody, why can't we say Happy Mother's Day to everybody? I said Happy Mother's Day to a young man today, and he looked at me, you know, like I was crazy. I said, okay, then have a terrible Mother's Day, you know. You don't want to have a good Mother's Day. Everybody has a mother, that's right. Okay, a lot to talk about. So let's pray first. This is also a poem. I did a poem last week, and I'll do one this week too. And it's from a hymn called Where Ceaseless Ages Roll. Come on, my friends, and go with me, for I am on my journey home. My Savior welcomes you with me to live where joys are ever known. Come, go with me to that fair land where ceaseless ages roll. Amen. My friends. That's going to be a big part of today's study, is my friends. So let's just take a step back and talk about where we've been, because this is the penultimate session. We'll have today and next week, and then we wrap it up. But we've been talking about people on the move and God's people on the move, and how being on the move is essential, an essential key, an essential part of the character of God's people from the beginning till now, toward the end. So we talked about the Exodus, people moving but being distracted. So we talked about distractions in that Bible study and the people of Israel doing just that. Last week we talked about Jacob and the angel, how we get injured on the way but we keep going. The injury does not define us. Being a child of God, having Jesus' name on our foreheads, that's what defines us. However, the injuries are real, and they happen on the way, and they must be acknowledged and cared for. And we talked about that. That was 1 Peter today. 1 Peter 3, right? Suffering while on the way. He's so good. 1 Peter. And today we talk about Jesus and the paralytic, which has to do with wounds, of course, but much more so I'm focused on how the paralytic is not alone in his journey. That's why the prayer included friends today. Come on, my friends, and go with me. You're not alone. So let's talk about this story in the scriptures. So that's page 1. It's such an important story that we find it in the three synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I gave you the references there. In each version, a detail or other is highlighted, but the core of the story remains identical. This morning, I would like to please go ahead. I don't want to go too far here. Please.
Synoptic. So John is not a part.
Correct. John, for example, does not have the nativity story. John does not have the Lord's Supper. Right? John focuses on things that the other three gospels didn't necessarily touch on. Okay. Right? So the synoptic gospels So these gospels go with each other, right? They have similar stories. Thank you. I would like to lose the forest for the trees. So the forest in this story is this. Jesus is the Son of God. Why in this story? Because he heals the sick and forgives sins. And only God himself forgives sins, so Jesus must be God. Period. That's the forest. The big highlight of the story is this. It is not what we are going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about the trees. Right? So the middle part where he goes head to head with the Pharisees and scribes is about why is he saying your sins are forgiven? What is he claiming to be? Who is he claiming to be? That's the core of the story. For today's sake, in this journeying that we're doing, we're going to talk about the young man or the man whose sins were forgiven, and who was healed. That's who I'm interested in this morning. So that's the bottom of page one. The trees, how a paralytic made his way to Jesus, his way, interacted with Jesus, and then went on his way, on the way. So here is the point, in case we get to, I don't make it to the end. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. The way is never deserted. You always have pilgrims walking on that same exact road. And the devil, the world, and your flesh would love nothing more than for you to believe that you have no one or that you mustn't help anyone. It's my journey with Jesus, period. No falser words had ever been spoken. It's not. That's why you're in a church. And that's the story of the paralytic this morning. He is not alone. I'll say it again. The paralytic is not alone. And the healthy men who carried him are not alone either. Because they have somebody to carry to Jesus. Today, choose your own adventure. You get to pick who you are. You're that person that is in need of being carried into the presence of Christ? Or you're that person who can say not proudly, hey, I'm doing pretty well. Who do I know that needs to be carried into Christ's presence? If you don't need help walking now, then this is an opportunity for you to help someone who does. You and I will need help soon enough. We might need to be carried. Jesus puts all of us on the way toward the kingdom of God. I don't listen to the song that's here. You might have heard it. I walk along the way. I know that from The Office, the show The Office. Not the third floor here at church. We're not playing that on our speakers. It's the Christmas episode where Dwight Schrute is singing this into the karaoke machine. I walk a lonely road, the only one that I've ever known. Don't know where it goes. But it's home to me, and I walk alone. This could not possibly be further from the truth and the reality of the Christian faith. We are all together in this journey, and this is what this story highlights for us today. Precisely that we are not alone. So let's get moving into the story. I have given you, on this separate sheet of paper, Luke's account and Mark's account. Which is the longest of the four Gospels? This is an unrelated question, yet related. Which is the longest of the four Gospels? Matthew. Yet, Matthew's is the shortest of the account of the paralytic. So I gave you, and Mark is supposed to move quick, yet Mark spends a good amount of time talking about some details that Matthew isn't necessarily worried about. And Luke is. So there are two accounts. Let's do it. We're going to go with the Mark version. Here we go. And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Reported. Hey folks, Jesus is back. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room. Mark could have stopped right there, but he doesn't. He even adds, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Bringing to him a paralytic. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's like the middle of the page. And you could tell that most of the story was about that paralytic and where Jesus is. Right, now we get to the other folks that come into the story. The scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Mark's favorite word, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose, and immediately, now there are three things that happen in this sentence. So I'm going to start that sentence again. And he rose and picked up his bed and went out before all of them, so that they all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now let's turn the page and go to the very bottom of the Luke portion. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And an amazement seized them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Oh, it's so good. So the Lord's house. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And that's what those four men said, except the house of the Lord was packed. God's household, which is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy. This is where we meet. This here is home. Because that's where mom, dad, brother, sister are. Who's my brother? Who's my mother? Happy Mother's Day to every single person in the room. We go wherever he is, and wherever he is, so are his people. And there he dwells among them. Because Jesus' name is Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God. So if Jesus is here, he's dwelling with me at home. These four friends, page 3, they knew he needed help. And here are the key points that I started with today. The paralytic shared his pain with others. He could have been a paralytic that was inside a house, hidden away by his family or hidden away by himself. But he didn't do that. He had to be open to asking for help. And he has to share issues that were personal, embarrassing, or shameful. Everybody else can work but me. Everybody else can walk but me. People can walk around without being carried, but I can't. And I'm a grown man. And other grown men have to help me get around. He had to be open to asking for help. But then the actual four men, the four took the paralytic's pain upon themselves. Far away, long ago, at my church back in Massachusetts, this guest speaker came, this Brazilian church that my family attends still now in Massachusetts. This guest speaker came and he preached about this text. I don't remember anything about the sermon, but he called the biggest guy in the room, and he was very entertaining, so he didn't make this guy feel awkward. And he was a young guy too. So this guy was about 6 foot something and real big. And he called them up to the stage. It wasn't the altar. And he said, I need four people to carry him. And I just happened to be one of the people that was chosen. And if you think I'm thin now, in high school, wind could have knocked me over. I was one of them. So I never forgot that I think I got either his arm or one of his legs and then three other folks from church. It's tough, man. It's tough. So, of course, it was all fun and games because this guy could walk. But, yeah, you have to be open to picking somebody up, and that somebody might be heavy in many ways. They had to be open about helping or giving their time and energy. We do not opt to journey with others. It's not a decision. I'm going to journey with these people. It's actually the only way to travel. There are no lone travelers in the church. When Jesus meets somebody alone, he always points them to his church. Always. So then let's go to the paralytic. Humanly hopeless, stuck, have not moved for a while. Can't get anywhere unless carried. In the Christian walk, this can often mean to us something spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical too, but a lot of us know people who are stuck because of other things. They're paralyzed by other things, not just physically. Why am I no longer moving? A paralytic asks. And you ask, why has that person been stuck for so long? Pick yourself up. Don't you know you have to move? Right? It's the also famous St. John line, St. John Church. If you could get better, you would get better. Hey, just get better. Just go. Why are you stuck there? Right? So this paralytic is in that situation. And I want you to put yourselves in both of those situations. As the man stuck and as the person looking at him and maybe saying, why are you in the way? Why can't you just move along? So the story moves. So they pick him up. But finding no way
The story could have ended right there for those four men. We tried, and we found no way. This guy needed help, tried to help him, couldn't. And I'm not going to ask anybody else to help too, because he's heavy. And I don't want anybody else to waste their time with him. Found no way. But finding no way. See, I told you it wasn't worth bringing him all the way over here. Look at how many people are here to see Jesus. How can we get him in there? There's no way. Now, by this point in the story, whether you read Mark or Luke or Matthew, it's Luke 2. Oh, that's not me. Not Luke 2. It's Mark 2. And if you know anything about the Gospel of Mark, it moves tremendously fast. So Jesus has healed two or three or four people at least in the Gospel of Mark by Mark 2. So this is not Jesus' first healing in Mark, even though it's only chapter 2. So people know about Jesus. And then in Luke, it's already Luke 5. So Jesus has done plenty of things by that time. So people are gathering around him, and you want to bring this guy who can't get himself there, and there's no way to get him any closer to Jesus. So you give up on that person, and you lose hope. And you say, Marilyn, you're not going to be upset, right, that we brought you this close and we can't get you any closer? All right, we'll just bring you back. You can say we tried. That's what they could have said. Do we give up on the journey? Lose hope? We had hoped. We're going to hear that next week. Where's Pastor Bynes? He knows all about that. He started this series with that back in the day. That's what he preached on Emmaus Road. We had hoped. We had hoped there would be room to see Jesus, and there isn't. It seems full, busy, no time or care for me. No hope for the man to walk, and no hope to get him to see Jesus. This picture and the next picture. Don't go to the next picture yet, although you will, page 5. But page 4 has this picture. And I was looking at some recently to put in this study, inspired by Pastor Bynes, because he always finds some beautiful images. And then that's when I have realizations like this once a day, especially when I'm talking to my wife, that I don't know anything about anything, and that people are so much smarter than I am. And I saw this image on page 4, and I'm like, I've never in my life seen a depiction of that scene such as this one. Because who don't we see in this picture? The most important person in the story. Jesus! We see what the outside looks like. We see the house. Of course, this is a modern. Obviously, you can tell it's modern art. Maybe, I think it's early 20th century, maybe. And it is, you don't see Jesus. You do see a crowd, but you see the people up on the roof. That's how they got up there. Up on the roof through the tile. How far do we have to go, and how do we open the way? And this is when you realize that it's actually hard work, and it takes time. And maybe some tries. How many times did they circle the house? Did they actually try to push people away? How many ideas came through their head before they said, yeah, it's through the roof that we're going to do this? And this is going to sound very getting the Bible story and flipping it to me and molding it to me and being schmaltzy and all that, but I think this is a good question. What roofs do we have to remove to allow those around us to better see Jesus? when they can't find him in their day-to-day. This is going to be an option for us. Sometimes, and we're going to get, I'll repeat this later, but there are a couple of ways to carry people to Jesus. One of them is bringing him to church. Another one is on your knees, putting that person in Jesus' presence in your prayers. I'm giving the plot away, but the third one is you bringing Jesus to that person. And that one's the most difficult one, because you got to get the roofs out of yourself away to reveal the Christ who dwells in you. Because we actually confess that Jesus actually does dwell in us, because he came to live in us when he said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he is in you. That is indisputable. How many slats of roofing do you have between you and Jesus when you present yourself to somebody else and bring Jesus into their presence? Can I believe that I'm able to be a roof remover? So that's you as the helper. But then as the paralytic, can I consent to be lowered down through the roof for everyone to see? Pride is, right, one of the number one, if not the number one, sin. And this is where pride gets in the way of people can't see me being lowered down like that. No way. Yet it's the number one job of the church. It's Jesus' number one job to care for those who can't care for themselves. Raise your hand if you're one of those people. I don't see enough hands, but that's so... okay. Won't ask again. I'm in that group. I can't care for myself. And Jesus needs to. And when you realize that everybody in the room is in the same boat as you, just like the paralytic, you realize what the church is all about. That it's not about walking myself in the door. It's actually me being carried in the door every single day. Because my flesh and my desires fight against this. Right? Yet Jesus dwells within me. Being lowered down is sometimes part of the journey. And it is part of the journey. You are being moved. But this lowering down is a bizarre and strange idea, but we are also used to the story. It's very bizarre. Everybody knows the story already, but nobody thinks it's bizarre anymore. Wait a minute. They actually went onto somebody else's house and hacked away, whether it was, Luke talks about tiles. They actually took away some things. They did what? And this is their seriousness and persistence to getting this man in front of the only person that could help him. We might say it's odd, or we can say these four men mean business. And then urgency on page 5. The men did not wait for Jesus to walk out of the house. Because that's one possibility. If he's in there, he's coming out sometime, and I'm going to be sitting right here with my friend for Jesus to walk out. And then Jesus will see him, and he'll be healed. That's one possibility. Have we thought of that? But they don't do that. They don't wait. They wanted their friend to be seen by Jesus now, not later. What, maybe they didn't want to be shooed away by Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples have a history of that, right? The master's too busy. Move along. They knew of their history already. Jesus must see you now. And this is the second painting that I thought, man, I don't know anything. And whoever painted this is a genius, and I couldn't find it. You see how the perspective of that painting, right? You are looking from above, right? This is the roof. And all the people are up here with the ropes and then carrying him down. That's beautiful, because if people can't get in and then they see some people in the roof making a hole, I'm sure there are more people on the roof trying to, because you can't see Jesus if you're outside because you can't get in. And if you know there are people making holes upstairs, you're going up there too. Well, since they're making the holes, I'll help them too. Right? So I think that was beautiful, because there are other people there, like kids sitting there looking down to see this. So they lay him before Jesus, into the midst before Jesus. This is the place to be. And sometimes we can do that physically, and sometimes we can't. But we can actually always carry somebody into Jesus' presence. And his presence is the key. This is from Art Just. You know Art Just. He's a dear friend of St. John. It is important to note that the faith of the paralytic's friends does not produce miracle. But the faith of the paralytic's friends is the reason why the paralytic is present before Jesus. These friends had faith enough to say, Manny is worth saving. So it's not, they weren't saved by their friend's faith. They were saved because their friends had faith enough to say, this man deserves to be put in the presence of Jesus himself. The friend's job was not to heal, but to bring him to the one who could. And man, is that frustrating. I've talked to so many people who say, I have tried everything for my son, daughter, mother, father, grandkid, niece, nephew, friend, come to church. And that's number one lesson we learn at seminary. Is you can't be a better Jesus than Jesus. And you actually can't convert people. Period. I cannot convert somebody because I am not God, nor, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's not me. That's who does the job. The Holy Spirit works in their heart, yet I have complete power to bring that person into Jesus' presence. In prayer, in supplication, physically, being Christ to that person. That's as much as I can do. And that is a ton. That's a lot of work. And it is holy work. Do we dare to let ourselves be carried by another on the way? If we are the ones to be laid before Jesus, can we let someone else tell us what we need and where we ought to go? Okay, let's go. Put your pants on. We're going to see Jesus. Right, can you say?
No.
You know, the paralytic. Maybe not today. But to actually let yourself be vulnerable in that way. Yeah. Okay. Jesus' first words to the paralytic once he's down. Take courage, be of good cheer. That's the first thing Jesus says when the guys are roping him down. This is not the encouragement, the hope, the new life you want others to have in church? Is this not? Just like you? You want your loved ones to have this too? To say, hey, take courage. How do you show it? How do you take away discouragement and put encouragement in its place? How can you be that person with good things and holy things to say to those around you? Hey, take her. There's a difference between take heart, take courage, and be of good cheer, and just feel better. Feel better. Because this take heart is something Jesus-y. It's you speaking the words of Jesus, saying, hey, you know what? It will be all right. Because Jesus is here. It's not take courage on your own. It's not feel good or feel better on your own. It's coming out of Jesus' mouth. Take courage. Because this is not the end. This is not the end of your journey. This is not the end of your life. Page 7. Oh, I love this line. And I bet every single person in this room has missed this part of the story, including me. How do we know the man before? What is his identity in the beginning of the story? He is just a... I knew these Wheaton College kids would not let me down. But now, what's his identity? Oh, we could be done right now. This is like the highlight of the story for me. If he got a healing or not that day, I would be okay with walking out not knowing. My son. Oh, that's so good. He goes from paralytic to my son. More tender than son. He does not call him huios, but he calls him technon. Technon. Yeah, that's right. Child. My child. He's no longer who he was before. Like Jacob, right, wrestling, or like the people of Israel who we've talked about in bondage, slaves, they are now God's children. And he was changed on the way. We talked about that. Your sins are forgiven. That's the most difficult thing to do, right? Jacob last week leaves whole. From his fight with the angel, does he leave whole? He has a limp. Yes, he does leave whole because he gets that blessing. Sins being dismissed. Jesus says your sins are dismissed. Forget about them. Being made blameless is the actual point, justified. And then this point, we're running close here, but I think we can make it. And how do we look upon the disabled? And they are sinners who need to be made whole by Christ. And that sounds a lot like me. Disabled equals not able or having the skill to do or not do something. I have all of these, spiritually and emotionally. Disabilities, not being able to be told, not being able to do something Jesus told you to do, or that you told Jesus you would, but you seem to be unable to do it. Not always visible to other people. And then on the other side, does our pity get in the way when we see people in those situations of disability? And I'm not talking about physical disability, disabilities too that are visible to us, and say, that's too bad for that person. And we forget that they too must have their sins forgiven. It can't stop at pity. It says, no, they're sinners. And they need Jesus as much as any whole-looking person needs. Devin.
Have you ever noticed the analogy between this story and the book of Job, where Job was paralyzed by his grief and is not knowing what he had done to deserve what happened to him?
Yeah.
His four friends are trying to carry him.
That's
to
right.
Jesus or to God. And then what happens is then God, well, they go about it the wrong way, except for one of them.
Yeah.
And so then God basically says, get up.
I didn't know about that. That is genius. See, I told you I don't know anything. That's how I started. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. That's beautiful. Everyone needs Jesus equally and totally, right? That's what I told you guys first or second week here. just because I'm a more mature Christian, I need Jesus less. I don't know about that, right? Well, let's finish up here. We have no words from Jesus or the paralytic. I'm sorry. Ooh, we have no words from the four men and the paralytic. They don't speak one word. Jesus does it all in this story. It's beautiful. Nothing needs to be said. You're already carrying a person who knows they're hurt. You know they're hurt. What else needs to be said? Nothing. The only thing that can save them is Jesus' voice. And that's what he does. Let's see. What can I touch on here? Pastoral care. I wanted to talk about that, but I think I'll talk about that next week. So the journey. Where's the journey in this story? There doesn't seem to be a journey like Jacob going from one place to the other, or Israel going from Egypt to the Promised Land. Well, it's a very short journey, right? The paralytic might have been a neighbor to Jesus, but a journey to Jesus' house. A journey nonetheless. He goes one way, comes out the other. Sorry, he's carried one way and comes out the other. That is a journey on its own and a beautiful one. We don't know exactly where he came from, but we do know how he got to Jesus and what the physician told him to do. Go home, glorifying God, healed, risen, and walking. And that's the order of operation for you two today. Let's finish up on the top of page 9. Page 9 and 10 are all commentaries on the story. So I'm not going to, page 9, bottom of page 9 and 10 are church fathers, which I wasn't going to talk about. It's for your own fun. Anna?
Okay, so in the church, the sanctuary, front right wing is four men. It's in the stained glass. You might say, I am the door, because there's Jesus with sheep.
Uh-huh.
But it's a pair of windows, and one above is the paralytic being let down in front of Jesus.
Right. I didn't know that. Okay, I'm new here. The other side of page 8, if you are not a glorifying church, are you a church? They glorified God. Glorify means no honor goes to anybody else but to one. Thanksgiving, living your life as though everything you had came from God himself. And that's how the story ends. And the story ends with the man getting up and walking. He doesn't stay put. He doesn't say, you know what, Jesus, I'm just going to hang you right now at the house. He said, no, Jesus is telling him to go. You got to go. There are people who need to know what I just did to you. And you can't sit here. Let's go. Let's go. And that's the sermon today, too. Let's get moving. Pastor Ferguson's sermon. Beautiful. We're little chicks getting out of the chickens or the bird's nest. And we got to move. And that's exactly what the story is about. So some more images here for you. Thank you very much. Let us pray and let us go. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Love you. Let's go to church.